We'll open with prayer. Lord, open our hearts to hear that we may know you aright. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is from Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. I'm curious, how many of you know what brimstone is? Not too many, a few. Okay, brimstone. You probably heard of it before. Maybe you've heard the phrase fire and brimstone used in the Bible. That was an old King James translation. Or maybe you heard it last weekend in the play, sung by the character Miss Andrew in her song Brimstone and Treacle. But what is brimstone? Well, basically it's just sulfur. But that phrase, fire and brimstone, is where we get that word commonly used. And that's a picture that's used, well, it was originally used very literally of God's punishment on sinners. In Genesis 19, the Bible speaks of fire and brimstone coming down from heaven on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God used it several other times in various prophecies and then also in the book of Revelation as a picture of that punishment awaiting sinners because of God's wrath. Now that phrase fire and brimstone has come to be used for a certain type of preaching that emphasizes God's wrath and punishment. It was typified by sinners in the hands of an angry God, a sermon preached by Jonathan Edwards in 1741. He said, God holds you over the pit of hell much as one holds a spider or some other loathsome insect. He looks upon you as worthy of nothing else but to be cast into the fire. Certainly using the law as a hammer. This is the law of God. This is that just punishment. God in his word requires perfect obedience. We are not to take God's name in vain. We are to have no other gods. We are to honor our father and mother, tell the truth, never hurt or harm our neighbor, never steal, never covet. God requires obedience. And the punishment for missing the mark, the punishment for not keeping that perfectly, capital punishment, death sentence, eternal death. The soul that sins shall die. Now, we could have someone up here every day warning you about that threat of punishment, warning you of God's wrath, and using that as a way to try to motivate each and every one of us to obey God's commands. That type of motivation was demonstrated in last week's play by Miss Andrew, that character. She used the threat of punishment to get the Banks children to obey. Brimstone and treacle. Fire and wrath. The threat of punishment. Is that what God uses on us? Yes, in his word, he does tell us about the punishment for sin. He does give very vivid descriptions of hell. And if he does that, like a parent showing their child the danger of putting their hand on a hot stove, it's very dangerous. He doesn't do it to try to get us, to scare us into obedience, but to warn us about the danger. God did not leave us facing that capital punishment. God came. Immediately after our first parents committed that sin and were condemned to that hell, God came with that promise of the good news of the Savior. He brought the solution to the problem, the way out, the rescue, the beloved Son that he sent on earth to die taking on that capital punishment on himself in our place. We each have that Savior. We each have been saved. We no longer face that eternal death sentence. The law is still there, but it is no longer, we are no longer required to obey it under threat of punishment. Rather, our motivation is love and gratitude for what our God has done for us. That is, in a nutshell, the gospel. That is the good news that God shares with us. And instead of brimstone making us obey, it is that good news that we are forgiven, the Spirit that works a change in our hearts. Now, in the play last week, this different perspective was, of course, demonstrated by the title character, Miss Mary Poppins. She sang, "In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun and snap, the job's a game. Every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down." That different perspective on obedience. She still required the children to obey. They still had the same jobs to do. But that different perspective, that motivation is completely different. That's that change in spirit that God works in our hearts and lives through the gospel. Yes, we still have that law of God. Jesus told his disciples, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." But we want to obey it because of what God has done for us. We read from Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. It trains us to reject ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, that is, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us, to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people who are his own chosen people, eager to do good works." That is what God has changed our labors into. His law, his commandments are no longer bearing on us, but rather they are joy. And he has changed us into his chosen people, eager to do good works. Now, I've heard the story, and I don't recall where I heard it. Maybe it was here in chapel, of a young boy whose dad was a pastor. And he used to say that that passage that I read to open our chapel this morning was the one he least liked, to put it mildly. Because whenever they had something to do that he didn't want to do, his dad used that passage. "Let's go clean the church. Serve the Lord with gladness. But I don't want to have to rake the leaves. Serve the Lord with gladness." Now, it may seem a little corny, but his dad was actually teaching him a lesson. Whatever we can do to the glory of God. When we serve him, when we do his will, we do it out of gladness. Because we aren't doing it out of fear of punishment, but rather out of thankfulness and love for what he did for us. So no more brimstone. We are no longer threatened by that law because our sins are forgiven. We can serve the Lord with gladness. Let's think of that in the words of Hymn 555, verses 6, 8, and 10.